If there is one industry that has brought prominence to Chesaning, it would have to be Farmer Pete's Little Red Barn. Mrs. Doug Pete, wife of one of the third generation owners, and Joe Glaska, a retired employee of Farmer Pete's, will introduce you to some of the people who have been associated with the business. Mrs. Pete. Oh, good. Come right up here, Mr. Pete. I didn't think you would let your wife get up here, Doug, when you would have a chance to here.
Don't get worried. I'm not going to read the whole book. But I do want to tell you a little bit about it. Last year, well, let me find one more page. Last year, a Mrs. Lewis from Midland came here and interviewed me two or three times and interviewed and talked with Stella Farrell and spent hours and hours and days, I guess, down to the Argus at the library, I mean, going through everything that she could possibly find that had anything to do with the Pete Patton Company. Now, my wife took notes from this, and I'm going to, between referring to her notes and me just ad-libbing a lot of this stuff, I'll go through this and give you some of the highlights. I'm not going to go back as far as Thelma did in those dates. I'm going to start with the actual founder of the Pete Patton Company, or the Little Red Barn, if I remember Pete. And that starts with George Pete, my grandfather. And he was born out here on the Pete Farm, on the Pete Road, about a mile and a half from town. He was born, got to someplace. And they started backwards. Excuse me 1 minute. I'm not as organized as I, yeah. He was born in March. He was born in March 21st, 1861. And when he was 25, he started the market and slaughterhouse downtown. No, I think that was. Guess I'm not as well organized as I thought I was. He started his first slaughterhouse, and his first slaughterhouse was built, rather, I might say, down at the ballpark in back of Don Raymond's, about where that picnic pavilion is, and that's where he slaughtered for custom slaughtering and slaughtered for the meats that he used in his own market for his retail trade. And they did a lot of custom killing, and He ran the store for 3 years, and he opened it on his 24th birthday, and he ran it for 3 years, and then he got married to Iona Shepherd, who came up here to visit her Shepherds came originally from Columbus, Ohio. And this, the older sister, that she came to visit and met my grandfather, she came to visit Edwin Adams' grandmother. He started out having some partners. His first partner was Alex Cummings, and that lasted a year or two. And then he quit, and then he later took in his brother-in-law, Celia Wagner. And Celia Wagner would be Helen Kettler's grandfather. And then he went back to farming, and my granddad took over the business himself, and he later joined up with W.W. Burgess of Brady, and that partnership lasted a few years, and that was when they started their first country rural horse and wagon route out through the country to sell to the farms and the people that couldn't come into town. And Burgess became sheriff of Saginaw County, and that left George Pete all alone again. And then the business got started branching out so big. My grandfather not only was doing retail business and custom killing business for farmers in the area, he got mad on with the ice man, and he bought the ice business out, and he ran the ice business, I think, until 1905. And he was buying wool, pelts, and he was buying sheep and cattle and live hogs and selling them to Buffalo and to Detroit market and Chicago market when they opened up. And so my grandmother went down to Ypsilanti, down to Cleary College, and set up some books with Mr. Cleary. Help, and this was around 1907, and then guess I'll have to get on my glasses. She started having the hams and the meatloaves were prepared downtown in the back of the market. They had a little sausage kitchen and a meat block and grinder and an old-fashioned chopper, and all the spices and meat was ground and everything. And then my grandmother would take the hams and the meatloaves home and baked them in her oven. I guess later on they did install a small smokehouse in the back of the market downtown. I've already said that he sent out his first wagon load in 1891 and started selling out to the country. In 1892, he moved the slaughterhouse from the ballpark down to the present location where we are now. Then, in 19, my father came along about that time, and there's one thing that I wanted to bring in about, this happened before we put our railroad siding in, and I verified this with Carl Schultz. I wanted to try and pinpoint as to about when we put our siding in so we could bring cattle and hogs that we bought from Chicago right into the plant. But before we had the siding, we had stockyards and pens downtown right between Brady Street and Broad Street. Can you remember that? And then I can remember it was a big thrill to me and my older brother to be asked to occasionally help drive the cattle on down to Brady Street, and then we'd turn them and take them down to Line Street, down to our own stockyards. Then my father came along then and started working summers, and he joined the business after he graduated and took his art course at Clary College in 1908. Stella Perrell was hired about that same time. It evidently got to be too much for my grandmother, so they hired Stella. And she worked for us for 55 years. And then my dad and his father in 1919 decided to expand that little slaughterhouse down there into a bigger operation where they could have a larger killing area and a larger smokehouses and larger kitchen, so that they could go out and really start wholesaling in a wholesaling way. And in 1920, I have an old stock ledger in one of my files, January, I think, 1920, the first stock was issued, and it became a formal company, a wholesale company. Started in the wholesale. Then the Depression came along, but even during the Depression, we increased our business. And I don't know how many people here, anybody over 50, you would probably remember that Fire Peas not only made bologna, but they even made their own money. We call it scrip. And all the help was paid in that scrip. And it was redeemed after the banks opened up. It was redeemed at face value. Well, then we started branching out. In 1932, we bought a plant in Bay City, and then about that same time, we started to branch in Lansing, and followed by Cadillac and Ypsilanti in Flint, and then in 19, Gaylord was started Gaylord branch, and then in 52 we bought a plant in Grand Rapids, and that employed about 140 or 50 men at its peak. They were mostly in the cattle business until 1973, when we shut down the operation in both Bay City and Grand Rapids. We had nearly 800 employees. Right now, the Chesaning plant employs about 350, and at the branches and everybody, we now have a statewide payroll of about 454. The first truck route, motorized truck route, went out of the Chesaning plant back in 1920. And they went west. They went to Bancroft, Pompeii, Carrington, Ithaca, and all over in there. And I remember the first two men that they got first truck out was Merle Fowler and Tom Jones. And they wanted to make a big impression on my dad and granddad. So they came around by Brandt, and they got, who was the owner of Brandt back in those days? Roy Macfall. They had a slight discount. They never passed up on how much discount, but they got him to take everything that was left so that they could come back with an empty truck on that. On that first route, I remember that. At our peak, we had, that was back in the 70s, 71, at our peak we had about 128 trucks operating all throughout Michigan. And the pounds, I got a note here on the pounds, last year, we sold 66,598,584 pounds of sausage, bacon, and pork products. That's it, with exception of, in here I got a copy of one of the script. If anybody wants to see me later, I can show them a copy of that script.